Welcome to Whiskey Cast, Cask Strength Conversation featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 342 for November 6th, 2011. Support for Whiskey Cast comes from Redbreast Single Pot Still Irish Whiskey. Find out more at redbreastwhiskey.com and join the Stillhouse to get your own personalized whiskey journal. Coming up in a few minutes,
4,000 or 6,000 to 29 or something like that. You don't remember your most favorite cask. But playing cask, you can remember my favorite whiskey was Ace of Heart or something like that.
That's Ichiro Akuto on why he created an entire series of single cask whiskeys named after playing cards. More with Japan's maverick distiller and blender later on, along with the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and the What I'm Tasting This Week department. First off, let's look at the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Our lead story this week involves Glenmorangie. Last time around, I hinted that a major figure in whiskey blending was about to change jobs. It became official this week. Rachel Berry is moving from Glenmorangie to Morrison Bowmore, where she'll succeed Ian McCallum as master blender. Rachel was at Glenmorangie for 16 years, working with Dr. Bill Lumsden. Starting this week, she'll be responsible for all of the Morrison Bowmore whiskies, including Bowmore, Auchentoshan, and Glengarry, as well as the McClellan's blend and other blended scotches. By the way, Ian was named Morrison Bowmore's Master of Malts in April. He'll be doing more traveling as a global ambassador for the company. One of his final creations is now hitting the market, the third edition of Bowmore's 10-year-old Tempest. It's exclusively from first-fill bourbon casks matured in the number one vaults at the distillery. Only 1,850 cases will be available worldwide. The next batch of Tempest will be released sometime in 2012. Bal Blair's 2000 vintage is running low, and a new 2001 vintage is being released to replace the 2000. It was unveiled this past week at the opening of the distillery's new visitors center in Edgerton. The 2001 was aged in ex-bourbon casks, bottled at 46% ABV with no chill filtering. I've received a sample of it. I'll have tasting notes for it later on in this episode. A couple of years ago, I asked you to join me in fighting prostate cancer during Movember, which gets guys to grow mustaches with the goal of raising awareness and funds for prostate cancer research. While I still support Movember's goals, my family threatened to disown me if I ever tried to grow a mustache again. But the folks at Master of Malt have taken up the challenge again this year. They've worked with Glenfarclas to produce a special Movember bottling. It's a 9-year-old expression from two Oloroso sherry casks. The label features a photo of the Glenfarclas team from 1891, when most of them were wearing mustaches. The Master of Malt team recreated the photo for the back label. The bottle sells for about £40 each. £10 from each bottle goes to the Movember UK campaign. Now, during Whiskey Live Paris in September, John Glazer of Compass Box hinted about a new release coming on November 22nd, with a little bit of political angst behind it. Here's a brief excerpt from that interview.
So a lot of people who follow Scotch whiskey will know the laws around labeling of Scotch whiskey and some other aspects of Scotch whiskey production and marketing are changing due to new legislation that went past Parliament in the UK several years ago. The grandfather clause for some of these things expires on November 22nd, so there are some things in terms of labeling that you can no longer do after that date, and we want to sort of commemorate the date. Where, for example, I'll just tell you that we'll no longer be able to label a whiskey vatted malt or refer to it as a vatted malt or a pure malt, and those are terms that have been around for over 100 years. We just want to send them off in style, pay homage to them.
As I reported back then, and Compass Box has now confirmed, the bottling will be called Last Vatted Malt, and to make sure it lives up to the name, the final bottles will be filled at 11:59 p.m. on the 22nd at what's being described as a mystery location in central London. There will be 1,323 bottles available. Each one will be signed by John Glazer and priced at £175 per bottle. It's not often that Jameson comes out with a new expression, but Jameson Select Reserve Black Barrel made its debut this past week. Each year, Middleton Distillery in Ireland produces a limited amount of triple-distilled small-batch grain whiskey that's matured in charred bourbon casks. That whiskey has been blended with single-pot-still Irish whiskey to produce the Select Reserve Black Barrel. It'll be available in selected markets. In the U.S., it'll only be available in the New York City area for now. I've been promised a sample. I'll have tasting notes for it on an upcoming episode. McTeers held its latest whiskey auction this week in Glasgow. A rare 26-bottle collection of Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's single-cask bottlings, with tasting notes and labels from 26 different authors and artists, sold for £2,300, or about $3,700 at current exchange rates. A 52-year-old Macallan from 1946 went for £2,200. The final McTeers whiskey auction of the year is scheduled for December 7th. Let's talk some history now. The full story behind Sir Ernest Shackleton's whiskey left behind in Antarctica for more than 100 years is now the subject of a National Geographic Channel documentary. Expedition Whiskey premiered this past Thursday night. It traces the recovery of a case of McKinley's rare old Highland malt whiskey, uncovered from Shackleton's hut in Antarctica, and flown to the Antarctic Heritage Trust and the Canterbury Museum in Christchurch, New Zealand, as well as the journey of White and Mackay's Richard Patterson to retrieve some of the whiskey and try to recreate it. While audio doesn't do it justice, here's a small sample.
In this crate is the most unusual cargo ever to escape the wastes of Antarctica. Carefully exhumed from the ice, it's potentially priceless. Conservation expert Lizzie Meek is committed to caring for it. Only an X-ray will reveal if her remarkable find is safe.
That is fantastic. How cool is that? That is super fantastic.
Lost for 100 years, Ernest Shackleton's secret scotch is the whiskey find of the century.
If you're in the U.S., check your local listings for additional showings. I've been advised that the National Geographic Channel in the U.K. will show it in January. There are clips available at the channel's website. I've posted a link at the WhiskeyCast website. No word on DVD sales for now. And finally, most whiskey lovers are familiar with the concept of dramming. It's the long-banned practice of giving distillery workers in Scotland two or three drams during their shifts. Glengoyne has revived at least the memory of those days. While most distilleries served up new make spirit at dramming time, Glengoyne's crew got hand-picked samples from Firstville sherry casks, selected by the brewer and the excise men. The workers who didn't want their drams poured them into an old teapot kept in the men's room, and that kept the other guys very happy with extra drams. Glengoyne's new teapot dram bottling is available only at the distillery and comes from five first-fill sherry casks between 9 and 11 years old. And that's the news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie, named 2001 Distiller of the Year by Wine Enthusiast magazine. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well-made. Let's check the comments of the week now, brought to you this time around by Highland Park. I hope you took my advice the last few weeks to make plans now for the Victoria Whiskey Festival this January in British Columbia. As I've warned, tickets went on sale this weekend and are already sold out. Heard from Simon Seaton in Houston, who sent this email as soon as he confirmed his ticket package through the Hotel Grand Pacific in Victoria. Here's what he had to say. You weren't kidding about selling out fast. I got one of the last two packages. How do you get to Victoria? Do you fly in direct or go to Seattle and get the Victoria Clipper ferry? Well, here's what I do. I fly to Seattle and take the 20-minute Horizon Air flight straight to Victoria. You can also get short flights from Vancouver as well. The Victoria Whiskey Festival is set for January 20th through the 22nd, and we'll be recording an episode of WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings at the festival Saturday afternoon. Got this email from Marlene Bingham, who's hoping to trace some of her family's history. Here's what she had to say. I found your website while searching National Geographic's site after watching the Expedition Whiskey Show. I don't know if this will be in your line of interest, but the brand we're searching for is pretty old and obscure for sure, and like you mentioned on your page, more likely non-existent by now. I'm searching for info on a whiskey made in the mid-1800s by my husband's ancestors. His great-grandfather and two of his brothers owned several large distilleries in Indiana, New Orleans, and St. Louis, and were also involved in the famous Whiskey Ring scandal. One of their whiskeys, known as Goodby John, was reported to have been very popular throughout the country during that time period. I can't find any references to it anywhere I've searched, but I still feel like somewhere there might be a bottle, a label, stamp, or something. Maybe there is nothing left from that time period. I just thought you might have a clue as to where I might search, and if you do, I'd greatly appreciate hearing from you at your convenience. Thank you so much. Well, this might be a tough one, and I'll be doing some digging, as I told Marlene, but if you know anything about Goodby John Whiskey, let me know, and I'll pass it along to her. Meanwhile, Andrew Miller in Overland Park, Kansas, sent this note. Mark, first of all, many thanks for the time and effort that goes into making the best podcast available in the world. I've been a listener for many years and love how your podcast brings many of the characters in the world of whiskey to life, especially now with the fantastic HD video supplements. Don't know if you're going to be at Whiskey Fest New York City, but if I see you there, I will certainly say hi. I've recently finished my whiskey and wine cellar and would love to purchase a few of your photos to hang up around my basement. In particular, I love the Glenlivet panoramic shot that is at the top of your limited prints page. Is there any chance I can purchase a copy of that from you? Andrew, thank you so much for those kind words. I've had several emails asking about that photo. The only reason I haven't listed it on the site for sale until now was because I'd never printed it before. It's actually a composite of several photos created using Photoshop, and I've tweaked it a number of times over the last year or so to try to improve it each time. Andrew's note persuaded me to finally do a test print and see how it looks on paper, and I've now added it to the list of prints for sale on the website. I'm pleased to say that Andrew is getting print number one of that panoramic shot. And if you're looking for something to make your whiskey room, office, or bar stand out, there are 18 different whiskey-related prints available at the website, and they'll make great holiday gifts as well, but only if you order them by December 1st. That way we should be able to get them to you in time for the holidays. Finally, had several comments on the latest WhiskeyCast HD episode with Woodford Reserve chef Weta Michael, and they all had one thing in common. They want the recipe for that turkey she made with one of the Master's Collection rye whiskeys. She did not give me all of the details when we did the video, but I've asked for the complete recipe. I'll post it on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page as soon as I get it. Meanwhile, if you have a question, suggestion, comment, or even a recipe request, I'd love to hear from you. You can always post something on our Facebook community page or just email me at comments@whiskeycast.com. The comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Highland Park.
Hello, this is Jerry Tosh of Highland Park, the makers of the best spirit in the world. If you'd like to go onto the WhiskeyCast website and click on the banner, then it'll take you to the inner circle and sign up, and we'll send you as much information about Highland Park as you'd ever need to know.
Time now for the calendar of events, brought to you as always by Laphroaig. The U.S. chapter of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society will hold its next single malt extravaganza on November 9th in San Francisco, followed by Los Angeles on the 11th. Canada's Companions of the Quake will hold a tasting on November 14th in Hamilton, Ontario. There'll be a whiskey dinner pairing courses with Glenmorangie and Ardbeg whiskeys at the Boston Harbor Hotel on November 15th in Boston. Glasgow's Whiskey Festival is set for November 19th. Whiskey Live Moscow is November 25th and 26th, and that same weekend is Inter Whiskey in Frankfurt, Germany. Whiskey Magazine will host a special dinner to celebrate its 100th issue at the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society Vaults in Leith, Scotland, November 29th. And if you're an art lover, Martine Nouet will host a special art and whiskey tasting in Worthing, England on December 1st. Two artists will be interpreting the tasting notes as Martine leads the tasting. It should be pretty interesting. Those are just a few of the events coming up over the next several weeks. You'll find a full calendar at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Visit Laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Liam O'Leary, distiller, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
My wife, she has a cousin, a priest, up in Ballyfermot in Dublin. And he comes down every year, especially if Cocker in the All-Ireland final, you know. He makes it his business every year to come down for, by the way, to watch the match. But I know he comes down because he gets a couple of bottles of Redbreast off me every year, you know. And we have a few Redbreasts, and we'd hopefully Cocker will be in the All-Ireland final like they were last year. And he's talking about coming again this year anyway, because I think the priests like their Redbreast anyway, nice and smooth, and you know, not too harsh. It's a lovely smooth whiskey.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
Time now for Whiskey Cast in Depth. Ichiro Akuto is a maverick in Japanese whiskey circles. In a market dominated by Suntory and Nika, his whiskies have a flair all their own. During Whiskey Live Paris several weeks ago, Ichiro told us about the first 3-year-old single malt bottling from his Chichibu distillery. That interview can be heard in episode number 335. But I sat down with him for a second, more in-depth interview during the weekend, starting with his family's long history in the spirits business.
Actually, our family business dates back to 1625 as a sake brewer. And in 1941, my grandfather set up a headquarter office and a factory in Hanyu. And in 1946, my grandfather started making whiskey. And in the 1980s, he adapted pot stills, very Scottish style facility installed. Then we started authentic single malt whiskey from the 1980s. But unfortunately, in 2000, our business was not good. So my father decided to sell Hanyu factory in 2004. And the new owner was not interested in whiskey business. They were interested in sake, shochu, spirits, wine, and so on. Because probably whiskey, it takes time to mature. And at that time, whiskey was not sold very well in Japan. Then they decided to throw away the casks and dismantle facilities. So I decided to set up a new company and purchase those casks and facilities. Then I started to sell our new brand called Ichiro's Malt.
What was it like for your father competing against the more established whiskey companies in Japan, the Suntories and Nikas, mm-hmm. and essentially being a maverick in a very closed society, essentially, as far as the whiskey world was concerned, because it was just two major players, and then your father and I take it a few other small distillers?
What do you mean? You mean Suntory and Nikka?
How was it for him to compete against Suntory and Nikka in the marketplace?
Actually, they try to make a reasonable low price product. So, but in that market, two giants are doing very well. So, actually, they cannot sell very well in that market. But in single malt or a premium whiskey market, a small distilleries can compete with others.
What was it like when your father finally shut down Hanyu in 2000 and the last runs of the stills, which you're now selling as the last vintage of Hanyu? What was it like for your family at that point to realize that after a couple of decades, after nearly 20 years of making whiskey, that it was not going to work at that stage?
At that time, actually, we have two factories, Hanyu and Chichibu. And Chichibu is producing only Japanese sake. And my relatives purchased that Chichibu sake brewery. The Hanyu was purchased by other countries, companies. Yeah, is it the answer?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when the family decided, when the stills went silent at Hanyu, mm-hmm. it must have not been a good day for your family.
Right. I think so. Probably my. I know my father was very bad feeling in that situation. So I decided to, after that, of course, our family but in that time. Then, especially whiskey business. I started whiskey business at that time. We started to sell all the Hanyu casks. But whiskey business, we sell our whiskey who is made by our ancestors, for example, my father and my grandfather. Now we are selling that. Then, finally, we will consume all of the casks in the future. So I have to, I thought I had to start distilling again for the future. So whiskey business, we sell our torijer from the past, and we have to make whiskey for the future to my children, for our future business. So I decided to set up a new distillery, Chichibu.
And that's in conjunction with the rest of the family business at the sake brewery?
Mm-hmm.
It is next to the sake brewery?
Next
to the Chichibu sake brewery that your family also owns, that your relatives bought?
Near distillery. Yeah, my relatives own the sake brewery. So, sake, my relatives continue to making sake, and I started making whiskey again.
The first whiskeys that we heard about of yours that we became familiar with were the ones with the playing cards on the label. The various things like, I believe, the Ace of Spades and some other ones. What led you to put playing cards on the labels?
Because they are all single malt, single cask. So single cask is very unique from cask to cask, very individual, like human beings. But usually you can see only numbers, 4,000 or 6,000 to 29 or something like that. You don't remember your most favorite cask. But playing cards, you can remember My favorite whiskey was Ace of Heart or something like that. So you can easily understand your most favorite. You might find most favorite cask in your life from playing card series.
And then you progressed from there to Ichiro's malts. And tell me about the progression there, because you've gradually worked into producing not just the ancient casks from your family's heritage, but the new ones from Chichibu with the very young and the earlier stages, and now to the finally the first three-year-old Chichibu. Tell me about the progression there.
Oh, yes. Ichiro's malt is a bridge brand between Hanyu and Chichibu. And we are selling old casks from Hanyu, and our very new product, only 3 years old. But in the future, it will get matured. In the future, we will run out Hanyu whiskey. But still, we are making and matured Chichibu in the future. So it's a bridge between past and future.
Now, you also produced Ichiro's blend with your own grain whiskey as well, too. Did you set up a special grain still, or did you just run grain whiskey through your pot stills? How did you make this one?
We purchased a grain whiskey from other company and also malt, and we blend them together for easy to drink whiskey. So we are making single malt whiskey and blended whiskey. Does it make sense?
Of course. Are you having fun? That's the key question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Yes, it is. I do.
What's the most enjoyable part of making whiskey for you? Is it the distillation process? Is it going through your warehouses? Is it being at events like this? What do you enjoy the most about whiskey?
Because it is very difficult to say a specific part of making whiskey, because it's a very complicated process to make a certain whiskey. Barrel is important, and malting is important, and marrying, fermenting, distilling, and maturation is also important. And making cask is also important, and wood is very important. So that's a small differences get together, make different whiskey. So I'd like to enjoy all part of making whiskey. But probably your question is, what is the most important part?
No, what do you enjoy the most? What brings you the most pleasure?
Yeah. Everything.
Where do you see your whiskey business 10 years from now? In the future, 10, 20 years from now, do you see your family taking it over eventually and continuing it? What's the long-term plan?
Yes, probably continue to making good whiskey. I have not decided yet who will succeed my business or something like that. I'd like to keep making good whiskey, and probably in the future, at a certain time, I will have to decide how to do it.
How do you want to be remembered 50 years from now? How would you like to be remembered by whiskey lovers and connoisseurs? What would you like them to think of when they think of Ichiro Akuto?
I'm not sure, but my one of the dream is to enjoy 30 years old Chichibu single malt whiskey with them.
Most of Ichiro's whiskeys are available only in Japan, But Number One Drinks Company handles exports of his whiskeys to Europe. There's a link to the Number One website at the WhiskeyCast website. Right now, none of Ichiro's whiskeys are available in the U.S. I'd like to welcome a new sponsor for the What I'm Tasting This Week department. The Glenrothes has sponsored the WhiskeyCast iPhone app for nearly 2 years now and will be a sponsor for this segment through 2012. I hope you'll join me in thanking the Glenrothes for its continued support of WhiskeyCast. Let's start off this week with one of Ichiro Akuto's forays into blending. Ichiro's malt and grain blend uses single malts from 9 different distilleries and 2 different grain whiskies, and it's bottled at 46% ABV. The nose is aromatic and rich with notes of lemongrass, pine nuts, grapefruit, a touch of red apples, and oak. The taste has a cinnamon blast that balances well with lemony tartness, a hint of licorice, and a slight note of cashews. The finish is lemony, tart, and long. Overall, very consistent and well-balanced. I'm scoring Ichiro's malt and grain blend a 92. If you get the chance to taste it, go for it. Next up, the Bal Blair 2001 I mentioned earlier in this episode. As I said earlier, it's been matured in ex-bourbon casks and bottled at 46% ABV with no chill filtering. The nose has notes of pineapple, lemon, vanilla, and ginger. The taste is fresh and fruity with pears, peaches, and a hint of green apples. The finish is long and slightly dry with a citrusy tartness. I'm scoring the Bal Blair 2001 a 91. Finally, let's look at that 9-year-old Glenfarclas single malt available through Master of Malt to benefit the Movember Prostate Cancer Campaign this month. Again, it comes from 2 Oloroso Sherry Hogsheads, and it's bottled at 53% ABV. The color is dark and coppery. The nose has notes of roasted almonds, caramel candy, honey, allspice, and toasted oak. The taste is dry and intense with notes of caramel cola, allspice, honey, and a touch of raisins. The finish is short and dry with caramel cola and a hint of spices. I'm scoring it an 88. Once again, the What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you by the Glenrothes, where maturity matters, not age. You'll find my tasting notes in the free WhiskeyCast apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android platforms, and at the WhiskeyCast website. That's also where you'll find links for our Facebook community page and my Twitter feed, the calendar of events, the print shop, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com. One final thought. This episode marks the end of the 6th year of WhiskeyCast. The first episode came out on November 12, 2005, and it's been an amazing journey since then. Thanks for sharing it with me, and join me next week as we begin year number 7. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2011, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.